This is the Oanda Podcast.
You're listening to the Oanda Market Insights Podcast, where each week we preview and review all the big business and market stories with Oanda senior market analyst from around the world. And today it is Craig Earlham in London. Good afternoon, Craig.
Good afternoon.
We've seen the FTSE rise for the third week in a row. A slightly softer week. Made a little bit of a recovery today. So that's 3 weeks consecutively that the FTSE has gone up. And I suppose all eyes on the big announcement on Monday, the much trailed announcement of what is going to happen re-COVID restrictions, and Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister, set to make that announcement on Monday afternoon.
The markets have been a little bit touchy this week. I think we can see that the nerves are starting to creep in. We saw it earlier this year, back in January, and I'm talking now as if it's November, and it's obviously only February, but it has felt like a long time already. But we saw the kind of taper tantrum type worries creeping in. We were seeing bond yields rising, and that affected sentiment. And we've seen some of the same this week. In fact, the US bond yields on the 10-year, the rise has accelerated this week. And I think that's just made people a little bit nervous. Why is it that they're rising? We're looking now at a turbocharged recovery as it is. $1.9 trillion in stimulus likely to come from Washington as well. Or maybe slightly lower if it's pared back ever so slightly, but still an extraordinary stimulus package to come as well. And the inflation fears are starting to rise, which means the potential for tapering of asset purchases and higher rates. And that seems to be knocking sentiment a little bit, or has done at times this week. But we are seeing a little bit of a rebound today. So a decent end of the week. And as you say, overall, I think the stock markets are still in a very healthy position. And we're seeing here in the UK, things are performing quite well. The FTSE is actually underperforming a little today. But I think that's largely due to the strength that we're seeing in the pound. We know that inverse correlation exists. We're also seeing things like crude oil pulling back as well at the moment, and has been for a couple of days. So maybe that's impacting energy stocks, etc., which has a heavy weighting in the FTSE as well. So that, I think that's having an effect. But I think there is still a lot more optimism now around the UK. And don't get me wrong, we're coming from a low base. The UK, one of the hardest hit economies as a result of the pandemic over the last 12 months, 9.9% contraction in 2020. But things are looking a lot more optimistic. We got the Brexit deal at the end of the year, and there has been obviously struggles in certain areas since the turn of the year. But equally, we are now seeing a vaccine rollout, which is doing better than most countries. And now there is a lot more optimism that we are going to see the economy starting to reopen. And we can start to see that turbocharged recovery that we've talked about. What makes it turbocharged is the fact that we've seen furlough schemes in many countries. So therefore, employment is being supported almost as well as it can be. We've seen that the aggregate savings have risen, so there is the cash there for consumers to spend more money when the opportunity presents itself. And I think in the UK, spending has actually been restrained a little bit more than in a number of other countries, which may suggest that there's even that extra bit of capability on that front. All we need is for things to actually reopen so that money can be spent, and the vaccines are the door to that. We've seen COVID cases and fatalities coming right down as a combination of the lockdowns and the vaccines takes effect. And now, as you say, we're going to hear from Boris Johnson on Monday, laying out the plans for the reopening, starting with schools maybe as early as 2 weeks' time following the announcement. And then it's a case of what comes next. When will non-essential stores open? When can I get my hair cut again? When can we go out to a restaurant again? And then eventually when we'll be able to go to pubs and use other hospitality facilities? And at that point, we can start to imagine a booming economy again once people can go outside, can mingle with friends and family and spend some of this pent-up cash. Now, obviously, that's on an aggregate level. There's going to be plenty of people who have been hard hit over the course of the last 12 months. But this is where attention will now turn to the kind of recovery side of things and how unemployment can be driven back down. But it starts with that announcement on Monday and the plans that are being laid out.
It'll be interesting to see how those restrictions are eased. I mean, you mentioned haircuts. I could do with a haircut, but actually I'd much rather my kids went back to school on March the 8th. And the way things are looking, certainly the primary schools, they'll go back. So that'll be a big symbolic moment. And then he will probably do a graded easing of those restrictions in terms of non-essential retail, travel as well, of course. Although I wouldn't expect him to say too much about travel, because that's, you know, a good 2 or 3 months away before the summer holidays. Maybe Easter, we can forget about it, apart from staycations in this country, and probably very similar in the United States and most of the other countries of the world. But this announcement is not only political, it's not only about the country, it is about the economy more than anything else.
It is about the economy more so than anything else. But if you look at the areas that have been hardest hit during this pandemic in terms of being shut down, you are looking at things like travel, tourism, hospitality. They are going to be desperate for these measures to be eased prior to the summer, because the later into the summer it gets, you're taking away potentially a really important period. This is a really important period in any normal year, but at a time when most of these industries have completely ground to a halt, the earlier that we can get them open, the better it's going to be for them, the more that we will see survive, and the more of this kind of pent-up spending that we can see directed towards the industries that have suffered the most over the course of the last 12 months. So this announcement Monday can be so closely followed to try and see what kind of a reaction we can get and what kind of and how these industries are going to fare going forward, because I think it's not only out of people. People don't just want to burst out their houses. I think they really want to get out there at this point. And lots of people saying they need a holiday and things like that. So I think eyes are going to be really glued to the TV screens for that announcement on Monday. Of course, they're going to be flexible, because the one thing that we've learned through the last 12 months is that this pandemic is at times unpredictable. But as I say, what we've seen so far has been extremely encouraging, and it really feels like the light at the end of the tunnel just seems to get brighter and brighter by the week. And like I said, I think that's evident in the numbers. Still a long way to go, but early signs are certainly very promising.
Having said that, it is clarity that markets and companies and people want, and I can't imagine it's going to be that clear apart from maybe the schools and some of the non-essential shops. You talked about the travel industry, but unless there is an absolutely distinct roadmap and he gives certain dates, I can't see that the uncertainty will not continue.
I think they're probably just going to use loose terminology. So we're going to aim for this, we're going to aim for that, and should this this progress as we expect, then we aim to have this open by this point. And I imagine they're probably not going to be they're going to be urging people to not jump the gun in making certain bookings. Although it's hard to say, because we have heard differing views from government over the course of the last few weeks with respect to holidays, as an example of that. On the one hand, you want to urge caution, you want to tell people that we can't guarantee that this is going to be possible at this point. We hope it is, and we're heading in the right direction, and the progress that we're making now should enable it to be so, but we can't guarantee it, and therefore you need to be aware. But equally, on the other hand, that it's going to be very hard for them to tell people do not book these holidays, because then you do have travel companies who are saying, why are you doing this to us? We need the business. We have suffered hard enough. We need people to be able to go on holiday, and we need people to get their bookings in. So it's a real, as with everything over the course of this pandemic, it's a really difficult balancing act, and it's going to be really interesting to see what kind of gets leaked over the next couple of days, because these things always have leaks. And then obviously, like I say, eyes will be glued to the TV screen on Monday.
There's a chance of apparent tax rises in this budget coming up in the UK in less than 2 weeks' time. This is the rumour out of Chancellor Rishi Sunak's office. And we've seen UK government borrowing hit £8.8 billion last month. That is the highest January figure since records began in 1993. That certainly reflects the cost of the pandemic support measures. And it's the first time in 10 years that more has been borrowed in January than collected through tax. And if you think about self-assessment returns, that is extremely unusual. But these aren't numbers that the Chancellor will particularly find appetizing, and he's going to have to raise taxes, surely.
It's not going to be appetizing, but it's actually better slightly than what was expected coming into this month, and it does seem that over the course of the year that they're going to borrow a little less than they were expecting. That doesn't necessarily mean it frees anything up, don't get me wrong, but and tax rises are going to be likely maybe next year or so, but it's a case of where, always with this, if there is going to be announcement of tax rises in the budget, I think it's going to be on very niche, very specific areas, and I don't think it's going to be anything that's going to potentially disrupt the recovery, because I think that's the last thing businesses need, it's the last thing consumers, households need, and therefore it would be an extremely strange decision to do anything that could jeopardize the recovery after the year that we've all just had. I think 2022 is going to be the most likely time when we're going to see any unpopular tax hikes, wherever that may come, whether that does come from capital gains tax or income taxes or anything like that, because at that point the recovery will have gathered a head of steam. We'll know much more about how strong it's been and what position we're in and where the unemployment rate etc. is at, and we can start to think more about bringing that deficit down and about bringing overall debt down over the coming years. But even more importantly, with these decisions politically, it's a good year as well to announce that, because we'll be right in the middle of an election cycle, so that you're kind of giving it time to pass, for the anger and fury of to pass before the next election. So I think 2022 is more likely to be when we're going to see any kind of significant tax hikes rather than in this particular budget, but that doesn't mean that he won't slip a few in areas that most people will not see as being too problematic.
I want to talk to you about Bitcoin, one of your favourite subjects, of course. And while you were away, because I didn't speak to you for a few days, it hit the $50,000 mark, and now it's hit another record high. What is it at the moment?
So it's just shy of $55,000. And it's a funny time for Bitcoin. There's so much positive news flow, and that's really what's driving lots of this. And it's different than what we had back in 2016, 2017. It's very much more fundamentally based on positive factors. So whether that's Tesla investing $1.5 billion, whether it's other companies looking to raise cash in order to invest, which I still find to be a very strange move, or whether it is other companies looking to facilitate Bitcoin, all of these things are very positive in terms of the journey that Bitcoin is on. We're still in a stage though where there's going to be a lot of cynicism. And it's understandable. Companies using company cash to invest in Bitcoin is always going to attract a few raised eyebrows, because it's still a highly speculative instrument. It's still extremely volatile. It's still extremely risky. Ultimately, it still doesn't really do anything. I think when you're looking at a number of these companies that are facilitating, they seem to, in many cases, it just seems to be almost facilitating more people to be able to speculate on it. And so therefore, it's almost hard to get away from the kind of speculative kind of reputation that it still very much has. But it's all positive, because it's still big names accepting Bitcoin, and that's still the important thing. That's why we're seeing the excitement and we're seeing the enthusiasm within the price. But obviously there has to come a point when you would think that we're seeing these really, really extraordinary gains on a weekly basis, and at some point you wonder whether the question's just going to be asked, has this gone too far? And at this point in time, it doesn't seem to be that the questions are being asked. So we're at close to 55,000 now. 2 weeks ago we were below 40,000. 2 weeks before that we were around 30,000. I mean, how long till we're hitting 60,000, 70,000, 100,000? It's so hard to know, and you just, the way this moves, it's just fascinating to follow. And who knows where we'll be? I mean, the thing with Dogecoin is to the moon, right? I mean, who knows? How far can it go? And if it falls, how far can it fall? And more so than any other instrument, it almost feels impossible to predict.
And finally, Craig, What should we look out for the coming days and the week ahead?
There isn't actually that much to look out for next week. There's a few events which I would highlight. Obviously, we've talked a lot about Boris Johnson on Monday. We'll hear from Fed Chair Jerome Powell on Tuesday, and on Wednesday, his semi-annual monetary policy report hearing in front of the Senate Banking Committee and the House Financial Services Committee. So that will be Tuesday, Wednesday. The only thing I'll say about this is it typically tends to be extremely scripted. The questions can get quite political, and therefore I imagine there'll be a lot of questions to him about the $1.9 trillion stimulus package, for example. That's the key event, especially when we are seeing that those jitters creeping into the markets. I imagine there'll be some questions which are directed towards that. We've got the RBNZ monetary policy decision on Wednesday, and apart from that, it's GDP US Thursday, and a few then low tier data points, UK jobs report as well in there. But it's mainly kind of mid-tier, low to mid-tier economic data on aside from that. And that still sounds like a lot. It is still a fair whack. But I think really the key for next week is going to be what we've discussed. It's going to be the movement that we see in those yields and what that continues to do to sentiment. And let's face it, Bitcoin's going nowhere.
Indeed. Well, have a very good weekend and we'll speak to you again same time next week.
Thanks, you too.